What is up, degenerates? Welcome to week 15, your fantasy playoffs. I'm your host, the Dynasty Degenerate, Mr. Steve Sampson. This is going to be the first of two episodes that we're going to bring you on the playoff weekend. I will not be joined by my normal co-host today. Ben Stephan is out. But I am joined by a very special guest and friend of the show, our back-end data cruncher, and the former runner-up Mr. Universe, lost to Arnold Schwarzenegger. I don't know how that happened, but...
It was rigged.
it must have been rigged. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Mr. Monty Neal.
Thank you. And... if you've never heard my voice before, don't adjust your device. Don't panic. This is how it really sounds. So, you know, I have the face and voice for radio.
So is it true that Casey Kasem reached out to you when he had a sore throat?
Oh, certainly. Yeah.
Come on and do some
and this
mic
is a
work
long
for him.
Distance dedication to. Yeah, exactly. If I could carry it.
Ryan Seacrest, you almost lost your job. Almost. Monty, how you been?
Pretty good.
How's your fantasy season going this year?
I've had more luck than I should have, and so I am I'm just really enjoying it and riding it, and hoping it just doesn't flatten in the playoffs.
One and done, huh?
Yeah. Oh.
Well, luckily for you, I don't think you and I play anywhere this week.
Nope.
So you won't lose to me this year. Well, at least not this week, this year. How are you doing with your best balls? I know you were heavy into the best ball drafting and stuff this summer.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that. And I think that kind of helped. You know, I mean, it really kept me plugged in to everything in June and July. And I think I had the right numbers as far as, you know, numbers of the position to draft. It's that I went two running back heavy and not, you know, so Levi will be laughing at us. But yeah, I should have kind of gone a little earlier on some of my wide receivers. But in my sit and goes, you know, the individual ones, I've still got a couple I can cash on those.
That's good. What platform are you playing on? Obviously, not a sponsor. I'll put that out there ahead of time, but. I know you were heavy.
Yeah,
into getting people recruited for him. So,
yeah, I thought it was. I think it's real. You know, it's real easy. And so, however, you know, if you're gonna do, a slow draft, you better be ready for slow to mean slow. So,
yeah, I didn't try that at all this year. You might be able to get me into it next year. Obviously, as you know, I was extremely busy. This fall, this summer leading into fall. So Monty, myself, and Levi went to the Fantasy Football Expo in Canton this summer, and we had a great time. And
we discovered a fantasy platform that's actually worse than MFL. All three of us have still made the playoffs there.
Yeah. No. And that. So we all drafted. We did a live draft while we were there at the Hall of Fame, and like Monty said, we're all three in the playoffs in our respective leagues, which is fantastic. I think there was 8 leagues or 10 leagues.
Yeah, it was 10 of 12, teams. You know, 12 team. Yeah. So, and that's, you know, had a lot of between fantasy analysts and just people that were that committed to show up to Canton, Ohio for crying out
right.
loud.
A lot of them, I mean, the majority of the people in these leagues were our analysts and professionals in the field. So I'm very happy with the three of us being in the playoffs, even if we lose first round.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I think you and I are a little suspect on being in.
Yep.
But, I mean, Levi's got a chance. So,
yeah.
Hopefully, we all three win this week and move on. But it was a great experience. I had a blast. How did you enjoy? I know that like the Hall of Fame and stuff was kind of a bucket list thing for you. How did you enjoy that and the trip and everything that we?
Yeah, I mean, Well, it was great just to get the three of us together. It's the first time you and I'd had been able to, you know, meet face to face. And so, I mean, besides the disappointment of how you look, I mean, you know,
I have a face for radio. That. I mean,
no, I'm teasing you.
I'm but, not.
No, it was great. You know, it was great to get together, but I think it's still that event's still just a little too geared for fantasy analysts, I think, to kind of rub elbows and not so much for the, you know, the general fantasy fan. I don't know. What did you think? Am I missing something?
I think it's still a very young thing. And like Levi and I talked about it when we got back and he was on the show. It's very young in its development. It's come a long way and it got stopped for a year with COVID, obviously.
Yeah.
It was an interesting event and it's something that is growing every year and I think is going to continue to get better every year.
Yeah.
But I do believe that, like, I really like the panels that they did on Sunday.
Oh, yeah. No, that was wonderful. And I think they,
I think what they, in my opinion, I think what they needed to do is, you know, have the vendors and everybody there on Saturday.
Yeah.
So that you can go through and browse that stuff, have those people again there Sunday with the panels. But where, like, the Saturday activity was all at the Hall of Fame, which is great. But if you didn't do the draft and you didn't do the other couple things that they had, there was nothing really going on.
Right. Yeah. They needed something to kind of have more social activity that wasn't just, okay, the bar's open. And because everybody clicks up, you know, when, it, you know, just as they will, you know, when that's the center of your activity.
Right. So, yeah, I think it's going to be, I'm going to try and go again next year. I'm hoping to, cause I want to see as it grows, I want to be there with the show here. Hopefully Ben we can work that out and he can be down. I do a lot of stuff with the Harry Potter leagues. A lot of the members of the listener leagues are in some of the Harry Potter leagues. I know, your wife potentially will.
Yeah, we're gonna. Year.
So I'm hoping that we can get there with that, and also promote the magical world of fantasy football at that event as well.
Oh yeah, that would
So
yeah, I think it's.
So yeah, no, it was a good time. Started off our fantasy season, and now we're here. You know, all the hard work that we put in over the off season from. Basically, from February all the way through until the end of August, it has now finally come to fruition. So,
yeah, it's like we were chatting prior to, you know, hitting the button. You know, with this year being, it seems like there's a transition, you know, away from the long ball and to kind of a shorter game, and you know, that's I think that's really challenged everybody. Because you just can't kind of, you know, rest on your laurels. This is a new world, and that, and like you said with the injuries, it's you know, you had to pay attention.
Yeah, no, you definitely have to pay attention, because there's been a ton of injuries, and you really got to dig through depth charts and waivers to find that guy that's going to get you the 15 points that week because of the injuries to a lot of fantasy relevant players. So it has been tough for a lot of the more casual people if they didn't have a good draft.
Oh, definitely.
And like you say, with the shorter passing, there's a lot of young quarterbacks in the league, and you know, probably more so right now than there has been in several years. And that's kind of the way offensive coordinators get those guys going, is a short dink and dunk and get them comfortable in the pocket, getting going through their reads. And we've seen a lot of that with the younger guys. We've seen a lot of that with some of the older guys. Like, I mean, you got Mariota, who is a veteran, but he really hasn't played in several years. You had that with Winston. I mean, you know, those guys were first round draft picks, number one and number two overall, but you saw a lot of that. And you also have a lot of young wide receivers, a lot of young running backs that are being worked into these offenses. So I think that had a lot to do with it.
Well, and the other thing is, is my guesstimate is you need to go back to the middle of next year, last year, and start to thank Brandon Staley for trying to figure out how to stop the Chiefs. And he started really going with a run funnel defense and a too high safety look that everybody else in the league looked over their shoulder and this year now adopted. And so, you know, Chase and, Jefferson and those guys are breaking free.
And that does trickle into us in fantasy. So, So we have a little bit of news. We'll talk about, we're recording this on Thursday afternoon. So there's going to be a game tonight. I don't think this will be out before that game starts. So we won't talk a ton about it, but we will talk about a couple of players, just more so for your next 3 week outlook, as opposed to, you know, the game tonight itself. And then there are games that start now Saturday, so there's going to be 3 games this Saturday, and I believe next week Saturday as well. So that's something we have to look out for as our playoffs go as well. How'd you do on your overall record, Monty? How many leagues are you in? How many did you make the playoffs? And how many first round buys did you get?
Well, you know, I'm glad you asked this
year. I know that you love to talk about you.
No, I'm in 9 leagues. 5 of them are dynasty, and so out of those 9, I made the playoffs in 8. And then out of those 8, I've got a bye in 4 of them. And like I said, this year is just has kind of, things have broken my way. You know, I put in the work for sure, but when I could get a break, I did. And so I'm really happy. And like I said, I'm hoping it comes to full fruition through the playoffs.
So who are you going to be cheering for week 17 when you're out of it, all 8 leagues?
If you're in there, whoever is playing against you, that's who I'm.
Well, it's either going to be me or Levi that knocks you out of most of them. So, yeah,
either that or our friend. I don't know if you've had Ryan on the show, but
yep, Rye Bread's been on. He's also been on, and then
AKA the fraud,
the fraud. That's that's going to be his name. I'm making that.
I'm doing that just because, I believe he has sold his soul to the devil, because he always seems to, he might not always win, but he's always really good. So
he is good.
So
we were talking about one of the leagues, and I played him. I want to say it was 4 leagues last week, and I beat him in all 4.
Oh, yeah. Oh, nice. Nice.
So I am going against him, though, in one this week that, my team is—it's a rebuild. I took over in a league that I'm in with him, and that team is very suspect. So I don't expect to win. I shouldn't. Let's put it this way: it's a rebuild. I should not be in the playoffs, but I am.
Things
can definitely fall my way with that. But I expect to—I expect to be found out that I am a fraud and eliminated from contention in that league. We'll get on to what little bit of news we have, go over the Saturday night games, and then we'll move on to Monty's stuff.
Okay.
Breaking news.
All right, so like I said, we have Saturday games starting this week. The first game is going to be at 1 o'clock on Saturday. It's going to be Indianapolis versus Minnesota in Minnesota. As far as fantasy relevant players for Indianapolis, Monty, what do you think of Pittman? What do you think of Jonathan Taylor?
I think especially on Pittman, this is kind of the Vikings defense is very suspect now, and I think we saw that last week. But it's fantasy points adjusted. It's the 31st. And so I think this is a sneaky good place for Pittman, even though, you know, I've got him and I'm scared about it. But like I said, I looked at 4-for-4s fantasy adjusted, defensive rankings against, and I'll be, you know, it's their 31st, and let me look up Taylor.
Yeah, Minnesota's corners are suspect. Their safeties are not.
Oh, yeah.
But I agree with you. I think Pittman is a sneaky. I think he has sneaky upside, depending on which Matt Ryan we get. If it's broken down, I should have not started anywhere this year, Matt Ryan. Then
yeah,
you're unfortunately going to start Pittman and get 6 points.
Yeah, and JT's facing, you know, they're fantasy adjusted. They're the Minnesota's the eighth, so I would think they would, actually kind of be a little more pass than they are run. So
JT's actually better against tougher defenses on the ground.
Yeah.
So I look for him to have a good game because it is a tougher defense on the ground, but he's also going to get some dump off work. So I do expect him to have a a better game. I think he could have what we expect out of him, a 20-point-ish game, if not better.
Yeah, and it could be the old 49ers playbook. I mean, old, where they pass to set up the run.
Is that back from the
Bill the Walsh Gold Rush era? That is the Bill Walsh era, yeah.
Oh, I was thinking way before that.
Well, not quite. Yeah. I won't pull one of those on you. Just right now, maybe later. But yeah.
Yeah, no, that is the old 49ers playbook.
So it could, you know, if they do have, you know, find an avenue in the passing game and get it going, he could have a lot more. They won't stack the box.
Yeah. No, I think that at first, I think you're going to see them stack the box. I think they're going to make Matt Ryan pass. I think they're going to put pressure on him and see what he can do and whether they can make an adjustment. And I do think that they can. Ryan's been around long enough that I think he can make the adjustments he needs. I think his problem is more arm strength and whatnot than actual playing ability. So
yeah, I think Pittman is who you can trust, but for maybe to cover, just to cover his projections. Yeah. But anybody else outside of that, you're
yeah. So I'm only looking at starting Pittman. I'm only looking at starting JT. I'm not looking at anybody else on that team. On the Minnesota side, Dalvin Cook should have a great game. I would expect Justin Jefferson. Obviously, you're starting him, expecting top three numbers.
Now I will say that the Indiana defense is those guys are for real. Now they did have the collapse against the Cowboys the other night, but I mean it went into the third quarter and then the offense couldn't support it, and they reached that tipping point where the gates open. But don't be fooled. I think the the Colts D is legit. So I think they're going to have their work cut out for them.
The Colts defense overall is ranked eighth in scoring, points against. They're 19th in passing against. They're 26th in rushing against. I do not anticipate them being able to stop Dalvin Cook as effectively as one might think.
I think Dalvin's done that pretty much on his own this year.
He does. But Leonard is one of those guys. He's one of the few guys like T.J. Watt. When T.J. Watt's on the Steelers' defense is 10 times better than when they're not. So Leonard is that guy on the field. If he's not there, it's definitely noticeable. So
well, and this thing has it. Vegas has got 47.5 over and under on this thing. So and that's one of the better highest matchups of the slate. The entire Week 15 slate. Yeah. So
and I expect they're most expecting of that
points
to be Minnesota. Yeah. So what my question actually is what are your thoughts fantasy wise on Adam Thielen and KJ Osborne? They got some tight end from another team in their division.
Hockenson.
Oh yeah.
I think the thing is there is I would the old hawk strap. I would say, like I said, I'm a little more concerned about this defense, so I'm gonna be playing, Cousins for sure, but is a you know, as a mid quarterback. But, you know, so, I mean, the major pieces, Jefferson, Thielen, and Hawkinson, but really nobody outside that, unless you're in some desperation mode. But, and I would, if I was sitting there looking at it, I would be happy if they covered their projections.
Yeah. I would, outside of Jefferson, I would agree with that. And probably outside of Cousins.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, I mean, he's the guy that you could always get a blow up game out of. But yeah,
Jefferson's going to get his. He's going to get. He may not get the touchdown, but he's going to get the looks. He's going to get the catches. He's going to get some yards. So
yeah,
I do look for that. I do think that this is a game where you want to fire up T.J. Hockenson.
Yeah,
I think this is a game where he's going to get you 15 points. You know.
Yeah, I just don't think Thielen and Osborne are gonna go off like they did last week. I think
I don't either. I think they're outliers. If you have to start them, you have to start them because of injuries or whatever. But I think you're looking at just projections. I don't think you're looking at much more than that.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll jump into the second game, which is the Baltimore Ravens at Cleveland Browns, and that's a 4:30 game. The weather's going to be some snow on the ground, probably a couple of inches anyways. Lamar Jackson is out. Tyler Huntley has cleared concussion protocols. He will be in. What are your thoughts on anybody in Baltimore outside of, J.K. Dobbins, who had a successful return last week, and Mark Andrews?
Yeah, you know, outside of that, I really, you know, I mean, it's just that the point total is 38, you know, from Vegas. And so, and it's basically going to be like a, you know, it's supposed to end up 21-17 on implied totals, you know, for the Browns. And so that means you got 17 points on the Ravens. Yeah, that's most likely going to go to either the running backs, maybe Andrews gets in there, but I think they're hiding an injury with him, just like they've kind of been doing, in my opinion, on Mike Evans over on the Bucks. You know, the guy, the body is out there, but it's not up to snuff. And so I would just hear again, I'd be grateful if they reach their fantasy projections on, you know, Andrews. Maybe you'll get some more run out of Gus Edwards, because J.K. Dobbins even admitted that he's still not back.
Oh, he's not 100%. No, not
yeah,
even.
Yeah, this is a guy who was, you know, said he'd be out there the first game. So he's given to a little hyperbole as far as thinking he's, you know, he's all that. So when he even says that, I'm thinking maybe Gus Edwards is, you know, the better play, but I wouldn't want to have to put chips on anything in that. And in fact, you know, I'm looking somewhere else as far as tight end in one of my matchups over Andrews.
So as crazy as it sounds, I would probably bench Mark Andrews this week.
Yeah, I mean, if you've got the better option, if you've got the better upside option,
if you have another top 10 tight end, I would probably be benching Mark Andrews. So both teams, this is what's going to be crazy about this game. So you're going to be playing in the snow. Both of these teams, so the Baltimore Ravens are third against rushing, and Cleveland Browns are fifth against rushing. So you got two stout run defenses in a game that's going to dictate a game script for running. The Ravens don't have anybody to throw to. When Bateman went out, you know, you've got Duvernay.
Right. You've either got Duvernay or probably more likely DeMarcus Robinson.
Andrews. But yeah. He doesn't, for whatever reason, he doesn't hyper-target Andrews like Lamar and everybody else would. So I look for them to try and feed Dobbins. I look for them to try and feed Gus Edwards. Yeah. You know, dump off to the running backs. Dump off to the receivers, but I don't really know that there's anybody in this game on the Ravens side that I feel comfortable starting.
Yeah.
I mean, if you have Dobbins, you probably have to, although you've been able to get here without him, so you might have a different alternative. But if, you know, depending on who that is, that person might be hurt because there's been a few running back injuries recently as well. So
yeah. No, and quite honestly, if I've got Raheem Mostert on my squad, I might be more tempted, given the weather situation, et cetera, that we'll chat about later, to put him in over, JK.
I think I would start.
I know that's kind of bold, but
I would start JK really... over Mostert or Wilson.
Yeah.
But I think you're very close in that conversation as to who would I start. So let me ask you this. J.K. Dobbins or David Montgomery against Philadelphia?
Oh, Montgomery, for sure. Yeah.
Sure?
I know it's Philadelphia, but I mean, come on, what are they going to do? Claypool is most likely not going to be going. So it's going to be the Justin Fields, Monty show. And, luckily it's Monty with a Y, not an E. That's me.
Yeah.
And so I think that's really where they got to go.
All good Montys say Y, not E. J.K. Dobbins or Travis Etienne?
Now, that's usually my date saying why Monty.
Yeah, well, that's,
know, but,
yeah, that's the other
thing. Yeah, anyway.
So, obviously, Etienne had a bad week last week. So, Travis Etienne against Dallas or J.K. Dobbins against Cleveland? Dallas has a seventh-ranked rushing defense.
You know, I might even go with Etienne because he might be healing up, is my guess, and he's getting the passing work, whereas to my knowledge they didn't throw the ball to either Edwards or Dobbins last week, and so Etienne's gonna have to come out with at least a couple of receptions, and maybe he's trending up on health-wise if that's what's impeding him.
Okay. Brian Robinson or J.K. Dobbins?
Oh, yeah, Robinson.
Really?
Yeah, I think,
You know the Giants.
Is against.
So the reason I'm picking these guys, so the Giants have the sixth-ranked rushing defense.
Oh, it's just going to be Swiss cheese. Robinson's a Superman. No, it's just what you're running into is my concern about Dobbins' health, and that they'll stack the box and say, okay, yeah, make Tyler Huntley beat us. You know, I mean, I think that if I was on the Browns, I think that's what I'd say too. You know, you've got very little in the receiving game, including no running backs. You're not Cincinnati where you got P. Ryan to catch, act as a receiver. And so, yeah, I'd make Tyler Huntley beat me and stack the box.
Yeah. No, I think that's probably exactly what they're going to do in Cleveland. So let's look at the other side of this game. On the Cleveland side, you got Deshaun Watson. It'll be his third game back. You got Kareem Hunt. You've got Nick Chubb. You have Amari Cooper, Donovan Peoples-Jones, and David Njoku. All should be active and have been fantasy relevant with Jacoby Brissett. I know that we know that Watson hasn't played football in 2 years. Needs time to get back into quote-unquote football shape, get back to football speed. Do you think that this is the game where he's going against the 27th-ranked passing defense of the Ravens, where he finally is able to give Cooper – I mean, he hyper-targets Cooper. It's obvious. Mm-hmm. You can see it in the games. He hyper-targets on Donovan Peoples-Jones. And he uses both running backs. Obviously, I would expect for Chubb to have another down game rushing. I think there's some passing work that he can get, but I think that more of that's going to go to Hunt. But do you actually think that Watson this week has his best week yet coming out, and that the wide receivers are guys you can start with some confidence?
You know, I do, and I think he's going to knock more of the rust off. It's not so much about the matchup because, it's not terribly favorable. It's kind of mid to tougher, But I think they're interested in getting him cranked up. And, you know, I think with my knowledge of Amari Cooper being a Dallas fan, he doesn't play so well when he's kind of hurt. So this might be more of an Njoku DPJ type of game. David Bell, he's that rookie. I think he's going to be out. So it's going to be a little more concentrated. Maybe even Kareem Hunt gets some work. And if it really gets messy, then, you know, I think here again, if they can open it up with a pass a little bit, maybe he's, you know, if it gets sloppy, Chubb will get more run, but that's a pretty stout run defense. And, you know, they traded right before the deadline for some linebacker help out of Chicago. So, yeah, I think that they're going to definitely try to hit the passing game more. I know the talk was they wanted to go downfield more, you know, this week. I'm just going to kind of hold my breath and hope, because I've got to play Cooper, that he gets, you know, that, because I think he had half of his balls, if I remember right, were ruled uncatchable last week. So, but the other part is, like I said, Cooper isn't exactly an Iron Man. So, I think, you know, you can go with those assets, and I think Watson will come back up, and, you know, the passing assets should feast. Not, well, I shouldn't say feast, but they'll do better than average.
So Cooper, since Watson's been back, Cooper, against Houston had 9 targets, 4 catches. And I think he should have caught 2 more passes. The others were uncatchable. So 3 passes were uncatchable. Against Cincinnati, he had 7 targets, 2 catches. Like you say, there were more that were uncatchable. Watson is a veteran, a smart quarterback. He makes good decisions throwing the ball where nobody can catch it and doesn't get grounding penalties. He can make plays with his feet. Donovan Peoples-Jones, the first week back against Houston, he had 3 targets, 3 catches. Last week against Cincinnati, 12 targets, 8 catches. So,
yeah, if I'm going to put chips on somebody having a breakout game or a better than average game, I'm going to put it on DPJ and I'm going to put it on Njoku.
So both guys, and I agree with you, but I don't. I think both guys are going to have decent weeks this week, because I think Watson's going to do what most veteran quarterbacks do and take what the defense gives him. And whichever wide receiver is open in the first half, they're going to get hyper-targeted. It's the second half, the defense is going to make the adjustment, the other guy's going to be open. When they played Cincinnati last week, Njoku got 9 targets, 7 catches. So they're scheming those guys, and the offense and Stefanski are doing the right thing to get Watson back acclimated to football. They're doing short passes.
Yeah.
5 yards, 3 seconds, dump.
Yeah. Well, and the metrics say, you know, they actually were, you know, in pass neutral situations in Houston, they were on the negative side. So they actually, and then also last week a little bit. So they've kind of been holding the reins back on the passing game, not to expose him, you know, Watson that much, but I think the trend is they're letting the leash off. And so I would think they're going to favor the pass, you know, at least, you know, to the normal neutral pass rate.
Yeah. So they're not pushing it downfield. They haven't been. They've been keeping him in a comfort zone. Both running backs have been getting, Kareem Hunt had 4 targets last week, Chubb had 3. So they're both being used in the passing game for dump offs and short yardage passing. I agree with you. I think things open up this week, and I think this is the defense for them to try doing that with.
Yes.
And I think that, like, he's trying to keep a rapport with Cooper. So I think you can start Cooper with a little bit of confidence, because they mm-hmm. had, you know, he's got 15 targets over 2 games. Only 6 catches, mm-hmm. but that's going to change.
Right.
You got, with Donovan Peoples-Jones, you got 15 targets. He's got 11 catches. But they're usually much shorter and much easier throws to Peoples-Jones than they have been to Cooper. Like, Cooper's got sideline routes. So, you know, a lot of those passes are thrown to Cooper. If he can catch them in the same bounds, great. If not, they're out of bounds. They can't be picked off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And with, mm-hmm. with Hunt and Chubb, those are the dump offs. And Njoku's getting the across the middle passes. And he also got a red zone look and got a touchdown. So that's got his numbers boosted, but that's what you want out of your tight end. So I think this week Cooper, he's projected for about 11.5 points. I think you'll get projection plus two.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you'll get about 13 points out of Amari Cooper.
I don't think he's gonna underperform like he did last week.
No, I don't either. And I think you can expect roughly the same out of Peoples Jones, who's only projected for 8.5. So I think those guys kind of even themselves out. Obviously, if one of them gets a touchdown, that's going to bump up a little bit, but that's a good thing. And I think Njoku probably meets his projection. Chubb's the one I think doesn't. And I think only because of the stout run defense. But his projection is about 14. I still think you can count on about 10. And I think that you could probably get about 10 out of Kareem Hunt. So I think Baltimore wins this game. I think it's an upset. And I think it keeps them, quote unquote, in the playoff hunt, even though they're really not. I mean, they're what? What's their record?
Well, see, that's the thing is they can actually
still in it technically, but
yeah, they've got Baltimore actually has the cushion to absorb. Could absorb actually a loss on this one and still make the playoffs. So they might not, I can't see anybody giving less than 100% effort, but it's not as crucial as the Browns. And so I don't know.
I think if I remember the playoff scenarios correctly, if Baltimore wins, they clinch the division. If Cleveland wins, they're still in the playoff hunt.
I got you.
So both teams are obviously going to be trying, putting 100% out there.
Yeah.
Like you said, Baltimore can't afford to lose this game. They're not going to get, it's not going to get crazy. They're not going to get too upset if they end up losing. So we'll jump into the third game on Saturday, which is the Miami-Buffalo game. We're supposed to have some weather there over the course of Friday night, Saturday night, because it's an 8:15 game. You have a little bit of an update on the weather for us.
Yeah, I think, you and I had hashed it out. We've both taken a look at the weather services. It's going to be coming into that game. It's going to be a little, rain earlier in the day, and then it's going to turn to snow. But
and that's on Friday. That'll be on Friday.
But on Saturday, it doesn't sound like the accumulations are going to be enough to, warrant at least, it's not going to be one of those snow games. It doesn't appear to be. And so the wind will be averaging about 15 miles an hour. But on that, there are no gusts predicted. So I think, at that 15 mile an hour mark, if it's steady, then that doesn't really hamper the passing game. However, you will have snow coming down, and it's not going to be total lake effect snow, but it's still going to be noticeable.
We think that now.
Yeah.
Keep an eye on this game because the conditions, because of where they're at with the lake effect snow, all of this could change between, Friday afternoon and Saturday night. So keep an eye on it. We were talking about this game before we started recording as to if the snowfall became more than expected on Friday night or early Saturday, where they could flex the game to. And we were looking at the areas. The last time they did it, they went to Detroit. But they obviously had a week, they had a day warning. With Cleveland playing in Cleveland, they're going to be affected by this storm. Indianapolis is away to Minnesota, but they would be affected by the storm. Chicago's playing at home. They would be affected by the storm. So if anything, the closest place that I would think if it were to be flexed would be Tennessee.
Yeah.
Neither of us think that it will.
Unless the weather kicks a knee or right turn
and they get a ton of leg effects though and end up with feet instead of inches.
So most likely, the game will go off as planned and everything. And if things stay as they're forecast now, I don't think this is, it's not as, the ideal conditions to throw. And so, maybe that tilts it more towards the run. And I think the other thing that might tilt it more towards run is, unless Allen's elbow is back to snuff.
He still has that injury.
Yeah.
That's going to be a nagging season-long injury. It's just a matter of hopefully it doesn't get too much worse and they can manage it with the amount of reps he takes. But that's an injury that most likely will require off-season surgery.
Yeah.
According to Pro Football Docs, not according to Steve Sampson, although I would agree. You got to put that out there because I've been accused of being Dr. Sampson.
Oh, have you? I wouldn't. That's just scary. But yeah, what I'm looking at on 4-for-4 on fantasy points adjusted, Miami's a nice matchup for the pass. But, given the injury and everything, obviously I think you can count on Allen to do kind of to get his. So same with Diggs. It's just the.
Let's talk about Miami first, and then we'll get into to Buffalo. So Miami Dolphins, they got a 7th-ranked offense against the 9th-ranked defense. The Bills have the 6th-ranked defense against pass, the 8th-ranked against the rush. Obviously, Tyreek Hill, you're starting. Obviously, Jalen Waddle is starting. Most likely, you don't have a choice but to start Tua, although if I have another person I can start, I probably would. Because I think Tyreek and I think maybe Waddle have upside with touchdowns. I mean, obviously Tyreek showed that last week with the 60-yarder. He's been limited this week with the ankle injury. He's gonna play. I would be floored if he doesn't. So I fully expect him to play. Jalen Waddle had a lower leg injury last week. He's also been limited, but I still expect him to play as well. The running game, on the other hand, Jeff Wilson had a hip injury, and Raheem Mostert is probably going to be the primary back, but I don't know how effective they'll be against Buffalo. They've got the 8th-ranked rushing defense.
And
in the snow, I would think that they're going to want to try to push the ball on the ground, but I don't think they're going to be able to.
Yeah, and that, what shocked me last week is you've got the Chargers, who are the biggest run funnel defense, and by halftime, Tua had gone 3-for-17, and they had just barely rushed. I thought, what's going on here? I mean, is your confidence that low? Maybe both the backs are banged up and we don't know, but whatever. But I think Mostert should be, I think they nearly ran him into the ground. And then when Jeff Wilson came, I think they gave him a well-deserved rest. And so I'd see him use both these backs, but I think Wilson's banged up. And so I think Mostert should get the carry. It's just, will McDaniels go to the run game? And I would think so, because the 49ers figured out the secret sauce on Tua, and that's press man coverage. You're going to get burned.
You're going to get burned by Tyreek once again.
Yeah, exactly. But if you don't press him off the line, you're going to get eaten up.
So the way that Bill Belichick has dealt with Tyreek Hill in the past, you press on the line. You have a linebacker that takes him when he comes across the middle, and you have a deep safety that takes him if he goes that route. And the Patriots have been highly affected by that.
Yeah, no, I mean, and that's the thing. The Niners and the Chargers, you know, went with that game plan. And I think we've seen the effect. I mean, unless there's something going on behind the scenes with Tua, but it's that's, you know, not giving those guys a free release and, you know, just trying to hope to contain them is not the way to go. It's, you know, it's to press them and, you know, this Dolphins team is not a big, you know, hulking monster. They're a lot of little speed guys. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, you got to figure too, Tyreek was injured after the 60-yard run for a touchdown last week. He had the ankle injury that was kind of nagging him. And then Waddle got hurt. So Waddle was hurt. Wilson got hurt. I mean, they did suffer several injuries last week during the game with the Chargers. So
now they know each other.
They do. They play in the same state, right? They're probably like you and I. They're best friends.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. You trade insults.
Well, the thing is, like, Mike McDaniel knows these guys. And he's been in these positions before. And I think more of that game plan last week was limited because of injuries. And I think that you're probably going to be limited again this week because of injuries.
I know Armstead's going to be, he said he's, you know, by hook or by crook, he's playing. So he's on the Dolphins offensive line, and he's kind of, you know, he makes Tua, you know, rest a little easier.
So the one thing that Tua can be thankful for, and he should probably send a Christmas card out, is that Von Miller will not be on the field.
Ah, true that.
That's a huge loss for Buffalo's defense.
Yeah.
So what I expect from this game is, as far as the Dolphins side, and I could be wrong, but it has happened before. If I'm playing DFS, I'm putting in Alec Ingold, the fullback, because he's probably going to get, you know, those, oh my God, it's a run play. Oh yeah, but the ball's already 10 yards down the field.
Yeah.
He's going to get the surprise plays. He's probably going to get some goal line looks, and there's a potential for a touchdown. He's going to be extremely cheap, and that's probably who I would be looking at in a snow game like this on the Miami side for a cheap option in DFS.
Yeah.
So we'll jump to the Buffalo side. There won't be a whole lot to talk about here. You're obviously starting Diggs. You're starting Allen. Are you starting Gabe Davis? Are you starting McKenzie? Are you starting Singletary? Are you starting Cook? You notice I'm leaving the tight end out because, other than the touchdown last week,
completely ineffective. Yeah, he's done. In that case, he's not going to get anything for a while. Is that kind of how we're going? I think that's. I think it's really
100% touchdown dependent. If Knox doesn't get a touchdown, he's irrelevant in fantasy. Yeah. And the problem
is,
he doesn't get looks. You know what I mean? He only gets two or three looks per week. And if he's not getting those looks and you're starting him, you're getting the zero burgers. And in the playoffs, you definitely cannot afford to be getting those. So, he's had a 1.5-point game. He's had.
But yeah, while you're looking at that, what I'm thinking is, you know, Gabe Davis, he could get there. However, I think since Allen's been hurt, it's been a lot more dicey proposition because he's probably not going to go long. Or, you know, I mean, he might get something if he's, you know, they get in the red zone. But
to me, Davis is the only way you start Davis is as a flex, and you're looking for that 5-yard pass that he takes 60 yards.
Yep. Yeah.
Or like you say, in the end zone. If they're in the red zone, you get an end zone target. So Knox has three. What I was trying to get at was Knox has three games in double digits.
Yeah.
And he, you know, his most targets have been 7. He's had that 2 weeks. He's had 6 targets 2 weeks. He just is not, like, we all kind of expected Dawson Knox to be more targeted in this offense, and kind of make that move up as a tight end. He's a tight end 16. I'm not starting him in the playoffs. I'm just not. if you have to. I'd rather start Cole Kmet with the Chicago Bears, who are terrible.
Yeah, I mean, if they're kind of hiding Josh Allen, let's say, like I feel like they did last week against the Jets. I mean, Jets is a good defense, but I feel like they just kind of did enough on the pass game to win. You know, get out of there.
No, they're 100% going to limit his the yardage that he goes for. Like, they're not going to push.
So that means you're going to be totally hit or miss on who else outside Diggs. Is it going to be IMAC, Isaiah McKenzie or Gabe Davis or Dawson Knox? I think one of those guys is going to get a flex worthy kind of consideration potentially. And then, and if this game doesn't turn into a shootout, what are we sitting at? 44, Vegas has got 44. So where's that put us at?
21. Take the under.
I would say, 22. Yeah, I would. Well, Buffalo's by 7.
I know. I'm taking Miami on this, and I'm taking the upset.
Oh, of course you are, because you took the Ravens. Okay, yeah. All right.
No, I am so this is a division game. Miami has to win. Buffalo doesn't.
Yeah.
And the AFC and NFC East are still very tight divisions, given whatever. It happens. I don't know how it happened this year, but it's happened. So these two divisions are the best divisions in football overall. And I think Miami's going to play them very tough, even though it's a snow game. I think I would take the under. I think it's a lower scoring game than Vegas thinks, but I think Miami pulls the upset.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, I don't know how it's going to go. You've got a middling total. I think Diggs is going to get his. The other three guys, where this could break is, to me, this kind of sniffs like a potential Singletary game. Don't hold me to it totally, but
I will 100% disagree with you all. I think it's a running back game, but I don't think it's Singletary.
Who you got?
I think
Hines.
We have a no.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
I think we have a Cook breakout.
Oh, do
I
we?
I think this is a Cook breakout.
Okay, everybody, let us be. You put on notice. We now know totally it's going to be Singletary, because when Steve has a feeling on this, this is going to be. No, I do tease you, but I just I think Singletary because of he's the bigger back, and I think if it kind of turns into a mosh pit down there, I would rather hand him the ball than try to be sneaky with Cook, or I don't want to put him between the tackles.
Cook is their future, and they've been using him more going forward. Obviously, in the trade that they made, they grabbed Hines for a reason, but he's more passing down a bridge for a year or two. But I
don't know what he's for. He doesn't seem to be for anything. Maybe he's maybe he makes great cookies for the team meetings. I don't know, but it's
a very complex offense. He's going to get worked in. I think it was more a move to dump Moss, and obviously Hines is a great passing down back, but they drafted Jared Cook to do the same thing. So I think they grabbed Cook with the hopes that ultimately he becomes a three down back, because his brother is a three down back. And I do believe that can happen.
Mm-hmm.
Not this year, not next year, maybe late next year, but the kid's got to put some weight on. So, I do think.
Yeah. If he doesn't put weight on, I'm going to have to agree to disagree with you there, because
if he doesn't put the weight on, he's not going to be able to.
He's too slight.
But he had the best hands in the class, which, I say that, and I said that in the grass, and then fumbles like
first carry.
I think he's got three fumbles already this year. But so Miami's got the 29th ranked defense against rushing. I think this is a Jared Cook breakout, because they're trying to get him more involved. But you're taking Singletary, so you know what, sir?
There we go.
We got a beer bet.
I am taking Cook, you're taking Singletary.
That's right.
And next year, at the Fantasy Football Expo, I'm drinking for free.
Yeah. Yeah, something tells me no, but okay.
There's
yeah,
a lot of no, it. But there could be a yes. That's my dating life, too, by the way.
Yeah, you're going to get a free warm brown Derby beer.
That's all right.
Yeah, that's what you
I'll
get.
I'll take what I can get.
Yeah, there you go.
No. So moving on, we'll get to, so okay. Obviously, like I said,
we're going
to
bring this in under 3 hours.
We might. Barely, we might. But, yeah. We're a little longer than I expected, but I wanted to talk about these games, and
yep,
it'll give us something with the other episode. We'll probably be an hour and a half, hour and a half. But we're a little lacking this year, so we got 2 episodes to make up for, so. There you go. Kenneth Walker is going to play tonight. I would expect full load from him. But what do you think as far as, I mean, obviously we're going to see tonight. If he doesn't re-injure, what are you expecting from Walker going into the next 2 weeks in the fantasy playoffs with?
You know, if he is healthy, I think he's going to get, you know, a decent run. I think Gino said that, you know, he got a little too, he's been trying to force it and force it long and not take what the defense gives him, the last couple of weeks in an interview apparently. And so I would see that we might see, wherever the 49ers have any give, if they do,
they don't,
they'll go. Yeah, that's the problem. So,
let's be clear on tonight. So that we're, like I said, we're recording this Thursday. Tonight's game, I am not starting Geno. I have to start Kenneth Walker. I have to, because obviously you're in the playoffs. He got you here, and you probably don't have a ton of depth that you rely on. So you're starting him. You're probably starting Lockett. You're probably starting.
The usual suspects are going to get started. DK and Tyler and Gino. I mean, if you have to.
I don't expect a ton from tonight's matchup. I'm going to say that up front.
Yeah.
Because it's a Thursday night game, all of the Thursday night games, like for the past several years, have been lackluster. You get one here or there where you have one guy go off. But as a whole, you can't plan on a Thursday night player doing well. So you want to try to replace those as you can. Again, obviously, Kenneth Walker, you can't because you took him later in draft. So if you're relying on him now, that means your earlier guy, who was probably like Clyde Edwards-Helaire or, you know, Cordarrelle Patterson, who's hurt, or somebody like that, you have to start Walker. So temper your expectations. He's projected at 12.5 points. If he can get
if he covers, you're lucky.
Yeah, I think he can meet that. If he gets in the end zone, obviously I think he does better than that, but I think he can cover that. But what I want to actually talk about with this game and these two teams and the fantasy players from them, so San Fran and Seattle, which would be, you know, on the San Fran side, I want to talk about Brock Purdy. I want to talk about Deebo Samuel's injured. We'll get to that later. Brandon Ayuk, George Kittle, Christian McCaffrey doesn't need to be talked about. You absolutely start him every week. He's going to get you points.
Well, yeah, and I mean, after we saw the Carolina Panthers juggernaut running game, pretty much toast the Seahawks last week, I don't think we've got any problem with CMC and Jason Mason, as I'll call him. It's actually Jordan Mason. So anyway, you know, and so I think, you know, I think CMC will get his, you know, and if Purdy's got some rib problems, oh, what a wonderful game for him to have rib problems, because, you know, you've got a run funnel. And so, yeah, he's not going to have to be counted on that much. I still think he's, you know, he's shown to be pretty serviceable. So I don't think that, and the Hawks are also just atrocious against tight ends. So I would favor Kittle on this one. And then also with the absence of Deebo, I think Ayuk should cover. But yeah, it's going to be a big CMC game. And then if it gets out of hand, they'll probably pull in Jordan Mason, you know, but it's going to be CMC. And if it gets out of hand, then it'll be, you know, they'll bring in Jordan Mason to spell him. But that's how I'd see it.
I would agree with you on CMC. I 100% agree with you on Kittle. This is a Kittle, like, this hopefully is a 20 or 30 point Kittle game. Brock Purdy, 2 starts.
Oh, that guy, yeah.
Comes in relief of Jimmy Garoppolo getting hurt. Pulled out a win. His first start as an NFL quarterback, he goes out against Tom Brady and puts up 35 points. First person to beat Tom Brady in their first start as an NFL quarterback. I'd retire. I mean, I would say,
yeah,
you know
exactly.
What? I missed it irrelevant.
Yep.
I was,
yep.
And I beat Tom Brady in my first start. You know what? I'm out. Peace out, motherfuckers. I'm gone.
Yeah.
But no, this guy's going to come out. So I pride myself on my ability to analyze quarterbacks. Even though I'm not a scout, I'm not anything special. But I feel I do fairly well against analyzing quarterbacks. This kid gets out. They're doing him a very good service by limiting what he's expected to do. He's got 3 reads. Look, throw. Look, throw.
Yeah.
3-step drop, 5-step drop, shotgun, doesn't matter. They've catered the playbook to what he can do as a rookie, as a 7th-round pick that needed some development. And I credit both Jimmy Garoppolo, Shanahan, and Trey Lance for what they've been able to help this kid do. Because obviously if you're the last pick in the 7th round, there's a reason, and it could be your small school.
Well, my guess is also you gotta throw in Brian, what's his name, the son of the Miami legend quarterback, if you will, the pre-Marino guy. Anyway, he was a national announcer, and they pulled him in last year, mm-hmm. and he's been the QB coach,
right?
And
they have excellent coaching, and there's been several people that have helped this kid along. This is definitely a shout out to everything that they've been able to do with this guy over a 2-week mm-hmm. period to make him not only NFL relevant, but fantasy relevant. And which is what we care about. But to be able to say that you can probably start this guy over several other quarterbacks on a Thursday night game. Like, I would start Brock Purdy over Tom Brady this week. I would start Brock Purdy over Derek Carr this week. I would start him over Russell Wilson. Well, Russell Wilson probably won't play, so that's not a big thing. I would start him over Davis Mills. I would start him over...
Yeah, I think he's, you know, I think they've got him sitting at 19. You know, I think consensus, he's probably about QB 19, somewhere in that range. And I think, he's got it, you know, because I've got, like, Dalton, and Dalton is playing Atlanta. Well, it doesn't get really any easier than that. So even Andy Dalton could probably make some hay out of that. But, you know, Purdy's good enough that, you know, I'm going to play him in my second. You know, I've got a 2Q.
Yeah, if you're in a super flex, he's definitely a must start.
Yep.
If you're in a 1 quarterback league and you don't have, you know,
Then
so let me ask you this, and then we'll move on to the other players. If you have Ryan Tannehill or Brock Purdy tonight, who would you start?
See, I'm in there. I'd probably
figuring be Burks tempted. Is out.
Yeah, if Burks is out, it's going to make it tougher for Tannehill, and so that would be a real.
But you have
toss
to decide
up.
Now.
Yeah, if I'm going to do that,
like if this is a this is this. But them playing Thursday night, this is a very tough call.
You know, I kind of like to go, you know, and this is, I've got another situation like this, and we'll talk about that later. But anyway, I'd probably go with Purdy, and then that way I can figure out, you know, I think they're about, you know, they're pretty close. But I'd like to kind of know on Thursday night what I need to do coming into mm-hmm. the weekend, you know, if I need to take more risk or less, you know.
Right.
And so everything even, I want to play somebody early.
So, all right. So that's going to finish it up for news. Monty, what do you have for Monty's stuff?
What I've got is, you know,
and that's all the time we have for Monty's stuff.
Yep, and that's, you know, that was, it was worth exactly what you got there. So
we're gonna move on to the,
yeah.
The injury report.
Ah, great.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah, you've
been planning that for hours. That's why I ask you all the pertinent stuff early. Like, you know,
what you got going on?
Get off there. So we'll get to injuries in a minute. Okay. Do you have any leagues you want to promote? Because obviously we're getting into the end of fantasy season. A lot of the listeners that we have are dynasty guys or gals. They play all year long. Is there anything as far as new leagues or like, I know you do the Captain America and the Iron Man leagues. Are you looking to add a third league? Are you looking for people that might be interested in doing something like that to get into more of the Monty Neal tournament style?
I am not. I wish I could say that, and I wish I could say I was ambitious and everything. But no, if anything, I'm gonna probably shovel that off sometime on Levi and make him take it over. So yeah, no, I just
yes. You know, so I we're looking for a third league.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I told you I'm gonna retire and become an unpaid fantasy analyst because that's, you know, exactly what my advice is worth. So yeah,
now that you've been on the show, just as a simple guest, you've seen the whole back end. So I'm not going to put this out there. We're hiring.
I've already seen your back end before. Well, it's not anything. Oh, yeah, nobody's listen, gonna want that.
Listen. That's your opinion, sir. That's your opinion. Anyway, go ahead.
This has gotten But no, you know, I mean, I enjoy being a commish, and you know, to me, it's, you know, there's a key in here, especially like if you're doing dynasty. I enjoy being a commish and getting to know my folks, you know, that play, my managers that play in that league, and also, you know, doing that and taking time to kind of know them, and I know you do that the same thing, is it makes trading a lot easier. I mean, I am not saying, you know, I feel like I give pretty fair trades, but, you know, knowing somebody and investing the time to at least know them a little bit and establish that relationship, that's, to me, that's a key for a more successful dynasty trading relationship.
I completely agree with you. I'm very happy that all of my leagues other than five are on Sleeper. The thing I like about Sleeper, listen, MFL is a superior platform. 100% superior. You can do anything you want with your fantasy league.
Yeah.
But you can't talk. So you got to have another platform to talk on. Mm-hmm. Sleeper is adapting, whatever. I love Sleeper because I have the personal relationship in every single league with the 12 people that are in my league, or 10 in the few that I'm in that are 10. And I have a 14. So I appreciate that I have that dynamic that I can get to know the people that are in my league personally and not just from a, dude, you fucking suck because you beat me in this league and now you're in the playoffs and I'm not and my team's better, et cetera, et cetera.
Which
we all have.
And that's the thing.
You know what I mean? Yeah. We can all relate to that. But the ability to connect on a personal level within this platform and within this media is phenomenal.
Yeah.
And like you say, you have the ability to reach out and get with people. You know, your leagues are mostly 10. And that's mm-hmm. great. And you can get to know every single person in that 10-team league. And you yeah. run very good leagues. And they're always active. And it's always good owners. And I've been fortunate enough to take people from those leagues and bring them into this community that listens to the show, gets into the listener leagues, and spread them out.
Yeah, and you know, and I've been lucky to find those people. Yeah, exactly. You know, and I mean, that's, you know, I'm able to kind of curate a few every year. You know, that I see they've got good play and they're, you know, they'll interact with mm-hmm. you. You know, and so you know, I've kind of done that all my life with friends. You know, I just, you know, I've been lucky enough. I'm odd enough that they're, you know, I think they find me a curiosity, but they do hang around. but anywho's, so no, I find some, I've been lucky enough to find some really good folks every year, and typically through, another podcast that you and I have kind of liked. You know, I get some folks out of there and kind of the ones that are kind of friendly. And, you know, if they're not outgoing, I kind of drag it out of them because I've got a big mouth. But, you know, and so, yeah, I've been lucky enough to find a lot of quality folks for my leagues. And so it makes it a real joy.
The thing is, like, not only does it help your leagues, but you got to figure every league you're in, there's 10 of us. And
yeah,
for all 10 of those people, potentially there's one more commish. And they take what's in those leagues and they take it mm-hmm. to their league. And yep. it affects another 10 or 12 people. So
yep.
it really, it spreads. And overall, the people I know on Sleeper, and for the most part, the groups that I'm in on Sleeper are very much the same with what you do and how they try to run the leagues. And I say try yeah. because obviously every once in a while you're going to get somebody who is toxic. It is what it is. You yeah. cannot do anything about it. And you just have to remove that person and move on. Fortunately, you haven't had anybody like that. We did just have somebody like that in one of the other leagues I'm in, but it was handled.
Yeah, we've been meaning to talk to you a little bit. Well, but, anyway.
Nobody can.
No, I'm kidding.
Nobody can move on from me. I'm like syphilis. There's a shot, but it doesn't always work.
No, I kid you. I, you know, I like to kid you, but yeah, it is. It's nice, and you know, and I run, and you know, I've kind of keep my, you know, my circle small. I mean, that's why I'm not really looking at expanding. It's just, you know, I've kind of got a nice number and that kind of thing. And you know, I just don't want to spread myself that thin. Cause I mean, there's not that much of me, but, anyway, so, but yeah, I'm lucky that, to have found a lot of the folks that I have, and, you know, some of the folks that, I've got the pleasure with the play and your leagues.
Mm-hmm. No, it's been good. We've been able to weed out and pick good people across most yep. of the leagues I'm in. So not everybody has had that experience, and it's unfortunate. But if you're looking for a really good league and well run leagues, Sergeant Rock,
you can,
Sleeper.
Yeah.
Or you can hit me at Solidator, and I'll hook you up with Monty. So we're running long, which is fine.
yeah, I expect this entire episode will have nothing but your voice, and so
well, yeah, I'm going to edit out everything you had to say. but so we thank you guys all for listening. Monty, you got any parting yep. words for our listeners?
Now, hey, pay attention. This week is going to be tough with that Saturday schedule. So, yeah, stay up on it.
Yeah, no, 100%. We wanted to get this out for that reason. Reach out to me on Sleeper at Solinator. You can find me if you want to send an email to the show with Start Sit or whatever. Any questions, dddfantasyfootball@gmail.com. You got the website at www.daydreamingdegenerates.com. We have a Facebook page. You can search for Daydreaming Degenerates. Or if you want to support the show on Patreon, we have you can search for Daydreaming Degenerates. It's also on our website. Thank you all for listening. Good luck in the playoffs. And don't forget to put your flex players in regular spots for the Thursday night and Saturday games. Thank you all, and we'll be right back.